With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 91, and we're going to pray, and we're going to minister this morning. Praise the Lord. I've got a lot of things rolling around inside of my spirit this morning, and we're going to endeavor to follow the Holy Ghost. You know, we've been preaching on the topic of love. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says that the only thing that counts is faith expressed in love. So you can set your will. You can establish in your mind a direction that you're going to take. And you can count the cost and figure out what's the worst thing that could happen. And you could go and you could have a bulldog kind of a faith and accomplish great things. But if you don't have love, it's not going to be recognized in the kingdom of God. Your bulldog faith and my bulldog faith without love is worthless. And I don't mean that the faith doesn't produce anything, but it doesn't get credited to our account. And we want things credited to our account, because when we get into the kingdom of heaven, when we are face to face with Jesus, He's going to reward us with crowns that we will be able to lay at His feet. And I want something to give Jesus when I get to heaven, don't you? I don't want to go up there and find out that everything that I tried to do for the kingdom of God and for Him didn't count in the kingdom. It produced something, but it didn't go into my account. And there I would stand empty-handed in the presence of the Lord. Now, there are two things that you can take with you when you go to heaven. The things that you have produced by your faith out of love, and souls. When you preach the gospel, people will come to know Him in a way that is extraordinary. Not just in thought or intellect, but by revelation. And the gospel is good news. So when you get to heaven and I get to heaven, I plan on having lots of souls with me. I plan on having crowns that I could lay at Jesus' feet so I can enter into the kingdom of God, honoring the one who gave His life for me. Now, in this lesson regarding love, we studied Psalms 91 last Wednesday and Sunday. And in the beginning of Psalms 91, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the God Most High." And it gives the benefits of the policy. It's like an insurance or an assurance plan from God. And those benefits come to us because we abide in love. God is spirit, God is light, and God is love. And Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commands." And then He went on and He said, "And these are my commands, that you love God with all your soul, all your heart, all of your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself." And in James chapter 5, I believe it says, no, it's James, it says in chapter 2, that we are to keep the royal law found in the Scripture, the law of love. We're to love one another. And we found out that love means that we prefer somebody over ourselves. That we want to see good happen to somebody before it happens to us. And I explained as when Pastor Nija and I are together and there's two hamburgers on a plate and one looks kind of burnt and one looks just right, for me to prefer her, because in my family we always went for the one we wanted. But love prefers the other and would give the other the better hamburger, the bigger piece of cheese, the bigger piece of pie. If there were only oatmeal raisin cookies and then chocolate chip monster cookies, and I don't like raisin oatmeal cookies as much as I like chocolate chip monster cookies, and there's only one of each, and Pastor Nija wants the chocolate chip monster cookie. If I were walking in love, I would give it to her, and I would take the one that I don't like as much, and I would be satisfied with that, knowing that it brought her happiness and fulfillment. Because love is really a preference. Love, when you walk in the God kind of love, it prefers somebody else over yourself. And pride does just the opposite. It gets selfish. Pride thinks of, what am I going to lose? What will I not get? If they take that, what will I have left? That's pride, guys. And when you turn inward with pride, guess what happens? Your world gets really small very quickly. But when you start to serve others and look toward the needs of others and look after the desires and the wants of others, guess what happens? The kingdom of God kicks in into your life, and all of the sudden, things that you desired or wanted that you haven't spoke to anybody come across your life. So love is vital. If you make Christians and you don't teach them love, then they're not going to be a Christian, because Christian meant to be Christ-like, and Christ loved you while you were yet in your sin, and before you did anything right or wrong, before you expressed your love for Him or commitment to Him, He gave in advance His life for you. Before Adam was on the earth, because He was Christ, Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. God will never ask you to do anything that He won't strengthen you and empower you to do. He will never set a task before you that He won't give you the ability and the provision to do. It takes faith, which means when it comes to love, I usually have to do something I don't feel like doing. See, love's not a feeling. If Jesus did what He felt like doing, He would have stayed away from the cross. He said, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. And He said, okay, Lord, not my will, but Yours. So He felt like going away from the cross, but the love of God in Him sent Him to the cross. We have a problem with forgiveness. Listen, if we haven't conquered forgiveness, we're not walking in love. Everybody say forgive.
Forgive.
Do you know what forgive means? It means to give in advance. You don't make the decision. I'm helping somebody. You do not make the decision to forgive when you've been wronged. It is a decision you made before somebody. I am going to walk in love with them no matter what they do to me. I'm going to expose myself and make myself vulnerable to pain again. And again, because that's what Jesus did. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. When He told them that they were to forgive somebody 7 times 7 in one day. 7 times 70 in one day. And you have problems forgiving your neighbor twice in one week. Come on. But see, if you wait, I'm trying to help somebody. If you wait before you're offended to forgive, to make the decision to forgive, you're going to lose the battle. You've got to make the decision today. You've got to make the decision now that you're going to give grace, give love, give kindness to somebody who's treating you wrong before they treat you wrong, because your feelings and your emotions are going to take you a different direction. To foretell means to tell something before it happens. To forbear means to bear the burden of something before the debt is called. Come on. To forgive is to give in advance before somebody has wronged you. So please understand, that doesn't mean that if you're going to walk in love that you feel ooey-gooey about people all the time. Because most likely, I mean, if you've got any kind of humanity in you, then there's going to be times when you just want to, you know what I mean? I've been there a couple times. And I start, you know, on the inside. And then I just smile and I say, I love you. Come on, that's easy. I love you. I'm not heaping coals on their head. I am sowing the love of the gospel into them when I do that. Is it easy? No, it takes faith and it draws upon the love of God that is within us. Everybody say within. If you're waiting until you feel like it to think that love from God is there and available for you, then you are sadly mistaken. Love acts contrary to the way that it feels. Love is consistent. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrong. So some of you need to delete some texts and emails that you've been holding on to just in case that ever came up again. You do it in advance. You don't need a record. I wasn't planning on going this way, but we will. Praise the Lord. Didn't the Bible say that in the measure that you judge, you're going to be judged? Doesn't it say that? I read something last night about somebody who was speaking, and I thought, boy, better be careful. Don't judge. Don't judge. You don't know what was in that conversation. That's just a sound bite, and you're jumping to a conclusion that this person is accepting something that they don't. Better not judge. Because when you do that, when you make that judgment on somebody, when you withhold love from somebody, that's a form of judgment. Because when you judge, you are either blessing somebody or you're taking something away. And if you take away your presence, you take away your kindness, you take away your gifts, you take away your time, then you are judging somebody. And in the measure that you judge somebody else, guess what's coming back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? It isn't money, it's judgment. So if you, everybody smile, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you.
If you feel groups are always talking about you, if you feel that and you hear people murmuring and grumbling about you, the first place to look is not at them. The first place to look is in the mirror of the Word of God to see if that is what you're doing. Because you are only reaping the things that you sow. Don't be foolish. You're going to reap what you sow. God's not mocked. And see, in the area of love, I need people to love me. Because as bold as I come across, I'm really kind of, you know, I want people's approval. I want people to like me. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to do what God tells me to do no matter what. But it's easier when you think people are like you and they're with you, isn't it? It is. It's easier when you know you got some people to hold up your hands. It's easier to know when somebody's got your back, isn't it? It's easier then. So, I may come across bold as a lion, but, you know, on the inside I'm saying, boy, I wonder if they received that. Boy, I wonder if they liked that message. Will that help them? I need love. Do you need love? All we need is love. We need love. Listen, God made you a spiritual being, and part of that spiritual being requires, it is a necessity to be loved. I know a certain child that was adopted, and his parents, his mother, paid no attention to him when he was a baby. Now, not the parents that adopted him. Left him in the crib crying. It left him sometimes without nourishment. And that, in that very short period of time, 4 to 6 month period that the biological mother had this child, that child developed something that is still with him today. And he's 22, 23 years old now. But he's so detached from people because, see, God created even a baby in the womb to desire love. You felt like there was a peace inside of you that was missing, and until you experienced the love of God through Jesus Christ, you were unsatisfied. And you have been made to seek the love of God. You have been made to seek the love of other people. And the way that you get love is not by judging and being mean and protecting yourself and living in a house that nobody, closing your doors off and keeping yourself away from humanity. The way that you gain love is by giving love. The Bible says that you're to pray for those that persecute you and love those that abuse you. Ouch! Now, does that sound like the world's system and the world's plan? I'm telling you, the two most abused words in society today are the word abuse and the word bully. Now, we know those things exist, but just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean they're a bully. Just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean they're abusing you. We need the God kind of love that makes the decision by faith that we're going to give to that person despite what they do. About 15 years ago, I was preaching in a church on Park Avenue. And that was in a time when the move of the Holy Ghost was, I would say, there was a lot of spontaneity in responding to the Lord. And there was great joy. Sometimes there was running and there was jumping and there was shouting. And I remember one service, people just kept running around the church. I thought, what is this, a track meet? But people were getting set free. And I was preaching, and there was a guy toward the back, and he got up, and, you know, because of the nature of the move of God, I thought he was coming up to have hands laid on him. And he got up there, and he looked at me, and he said so quick, he said, "I don't like you." Wham! I was preaching! And he was just a skinny little twerp. And I went over, and I got down on the ground, I got my handkerchief out, and I was blood all over it, and you know what? A couple of ushers grabbed him and were shooting him out the door. And I stood up and I said, "What does the Bible tell us to do?" And I began to pray for him. I prayed that God would send laborers across his path so that he could get the heart of the gospel in him. I prayed that he would hear the message of faith. I prayed that God would put angels around him to protect him until he entered into that salvation. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would be with him and woo him into the kingdom of God. And do you know what happened after that? Miracles started popping in the service. Why? Did I feel like praying for him that way? No, here's what I felt like. When I wiped the blood off my face and I was laying down on the ground like this, you know, and I just rolled over and I saw his ankle and I saw that blood. I was wanting to grab, I'm not sure, maybe I did, but he was, I wanted to grab his ankle and pull him to the ground and pummel him. But I reached down inside because I knew that I was leading people in that service. I said, "What do I do?" And it came up in me to love my enemies and to pray for those who persecute me. And I did. And do you know what happened? I didn't feel like it. But when I started praying, the love of God in me began to swell. And it began to run out of me, out of my belly fluid, rivers of living water of love. And people started getting healed. Praise the Lord. Are we at Psalms 91 yet? Verse 14. Now, Psalms 91, mark in your Bible, that's your insurance plan from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better than Wellmark, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. It is better than any plan that you can. It's better than Obamacare. It's better than any insurance program that's out there. But if you're going to dwell in God, then you need to live in love. If you're going to dwell in God, which is where these provisions come from, they don't come from one who's not dwelling in God. But if you're dwelling in God, then you got to live in love. And it says in verse 14, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." There is a contingency here. It comes in this little word called if. If. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, all of the blessings in Christ that are the promises are yes and amen for. There's an if. If you obey these commands, these blessings will come upon you. Am I right? Jesus fulfilled the if of the law so you could fulfill the if of the royal law. The royal law is to love others as you love yourself. And guys, don't get caught up in that egotistical stuff that says, well, I got to love me before I love anybody else. Yeah, you stoop. What it says in the Bible, it says you love yourself because you all ate. You took a bath and you got dressed. So you express love to yourself by caring for your body. Not like, oh, I got a good picture of myself. I'm the handsomest guy in the room. Not that kind of love. You took care of yourself. How many of you have gone 3 days without eating? Can I see your hand? Today. You mean, there's that many hungry people in there? How many have gone? We got a help center across the street. We give out food. Praise the Lord. Come make an appointment. We'll pray with you and help you. How many of you have not eaten in the last 3 days? How many of you had breakfast this morning? Something light, even if it was just a juice or candy bar. Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, how many of you just came without combing your hair? I see your nappy hair. I see your nappy hair back there, Lucas. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. You cared for yourself. That's the way love expresses itself. Now go and find your neighbor and do likewise. So when you love yourself, it's caring for yourself. So if you love somebody else, you begin to care for them. And as you care for them, guess what happens? The power to love them is drawn upon. When I was a kid, we went to a little country church and they had a well outside. And it was one of those hand pump wells. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you'd start pumping that thing and nothing would happen. It'd go, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. Like a Democrat. No, hee-haw, hee-haw. And what we would do is we always had a pitcher of water. If you drew water, you always ended putting water in the pitcher. Why? Because back in the day, the gasket that pumped the water up was made of leather and it would dry out. So you'd pour water down in there. Come on. And that would start to swell up and you prime it and then you get suction and you could feel the difference as the water came up and then it started to come out and it would be cold and it would be fresh and one person would pump and all the other kids would go, they'd take their drinks. See, sometimes when you try to walk in love, it's like hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. Now listen, if you have a little bit of the love of God in you and you can apply your human type of love towards somebody, and what happens is that gasket will begin to swell and you can draw up out of that well that cold and refreshing water that'll satisfy the thirst that you have because you need to walk in love. And so God's love comes out of your spirit and strengthens you. Amen? All right, now let's preach. Now we're going to teach a little bit. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 6 in Deuteronomy chapter 31 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And sometimes it feels like you're out there on your own. Doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like you've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Sometimes it feels like you're the only one who has the idea and has the vision. Do you know what I mean? You feel like everybody's against you. You know, when you feel that way, you got to prime the pump. Because just like I never went to that well, it was some 40 feet deep, that we didn't draw out water. I mean, we had to prime it a little bit sometimes, but never in the 10 years that I went to that church did it ever run dry. God's love is in you if you're born again. And if you learn how to prime the pump, that means doing something you don't feel like it don't look like it's going to make any difference. It doesn't feel like I want to do it. But when you start doing it, then you could draw upon the water of the Spirit that is deep within you. It's in you. If Jesus is your Lord, then the love of God is in you and you can draw it out. He will never leave you alone. He will never have you out there by yourself. He'll never ask you to walk in love and then not give you the ability to do it. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For first he must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Listen, you've got to believe regarding love that when you ask God for the ability to love, that he's going to give it. Because it's in you. Now here's what I want you to hear. What is in you right now may not be the amount of love, the love of God, that you'll need to walk in love in the situation you're in. Because what you have is a pitcher. But what you desire is gallons. So you prime your pump and do what's right and you say what you'd like said to you, instead of discouraging, you encourage. Instead of pulling down, you prop up. Instead of exposing, you cover. When you do those things, then the love of God that is in you will begin to draw on the love of God that is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Turn to John chapter 10. Why do we use so much of the Bible? Because the Bible is the Word of God. It is truth. It is where our faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We want to establish in two or three witnesses that God's love is in you and available to you at all time. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, to steal and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now that is preference. He is preferring the sheep over himself. He's not in a system of hierarchy. He is serving the sheep, taking care of the needs of the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. When you're in a situation, born again Christian, when you're in a situation and you say, I don't know how to love that person, you are a liar.
You're a liar.
You're not listening to the truth. Because you do know what you had ought to do. You just have come up with 25 reasons why you don't have to do what you know you should do. Love always takes the power out of a punch. Love always strengthens the one who is getting hurt. Love always releases power to love. Amen. Jesus will speak very plainly to you the things that you are to do. Will it be in an audible voice? Probably not. It'll be in a knowing. Jesus said, blessed be the peacemakers, not the peace keepers. So see, you have to create something to keep, not to keep, to make. You'll have to pull something out of, not nowhere, but out of the love of God and build a bridge between you and whatever that thing is. You've got to go about constructing something that isn't there. A peacekeeper just keeps pointing toward the rules. A peacemaker causes, creates an environment where offenses go away and forgiveness is possible. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 10, would you please? I want you to see love in action. You brushed your teeth this morning, I hope. Huh? You combed your hair this morning. Yeah, almost all of you. Ladies, did you spend a little bit of time with those eyebrow pencils? Huh? Your lip liner? I don't know about you, but I spent a little bit of time plucking some. The older I get, hairs grow everywhere. Anybody else noticed that? My goodness, the other day I looked in the mirror and I got this magnifying thing that goes 10 and I flipped it over and there was a hair that long coming out my ear. Has anybody else ever had that happen or is that just me? Well, no, it grows overnight. It's not a 3-week, it grows. Well, I took care of that. I spent some time doing that this morning. I took care of myself. And love takes care of other people. So if I took care of myself this morning, I know I have the ability to take the cares of others. Jesus said, hey, cast your cares upon me. I'll care for you. Cast your cares. He said that in the Old Testament through the prophet. He said, cast your cares upon me and I will care for you. Now, if you're to be like Christ in this earth, then that means that, hey, what do you have you're not handling? Can I help you? I don't know what I can do, but I sure am willing to try. If all I can do is pray and encourage, then I'm going to do that. But if you need some food, you need some help, come on, I'll help you in that too. If you need some counseling, we'll help you in that. Come on, I'll care for you. I will. Now, sometimes it's not easy. And if you've ever been in counseling with me, you know, praise the Lord. You really want to schedule it with Pastor Josh. Because I'll just say, that's your problem, fix it. Acts 10, this is what the Word says, just do it. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus went about doing good things for other people. We are to do good things for other people. Hey, you can lay your hands on somebody and pray for them when they're sick. You can take them a bowl of chicken soup. That's okay. Take a bowl of chicken soup, but lay your hands on them and pray that the Lord would heal them. You should be able to find something good to say to everybody. I was listening to some speakers last night and praise the Lord. I know we're going to hear a lot of speakers here in the next 2 years. And I was so disconnected with those who only could say negative things about other people. I mean, you know how I feel. I may not agree with our president, but he's my president.
He's my president too.
I may not agree with a lot of things that he does, but I am going to honor him. Why? Because I'm going to honor him. He's in the office of president, so I'm going to pray for him. I can't say I don't have a president right now. Yes, I do. I've got a governor and I've got a mayor. But love prays for him. Love honors him. Because if the guy that I want to get in office gets in office, I want him to be honored. I can't just honor when I don't feel like honoring. I think we can find something good to say about anybody. Man, you got some sharp sideburns, dude. Wow, how long did it take for you to do that hair? That looks great this morning. Them are some awesome suspenders you have on there, Dave. You can find something good and something encouraging to say about anybody if you'll just try. That's one way we love. But if you just do it in words and not deeds, your love isn't like the love of Jesus Christ. He went about doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil. Listen, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came so that we may have life more abundantly. He came to give something. He came to impart something. He came to do something. And all of those things that He did and He gave and He does give and He does do is love. It's His faith expressed in love. Amen? I want to go to two more scriptures. Isaiah chapter 41. You are not in this thing alone. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Listen, as bad and as ugly and as nasty as you can be, Jesus will not leave you nor forsake you. That's why you like Him. That's why you trust Him. But some of you have been in covenant relationships like marriage and that other person left you. Jesus won't ever leave you. And maybe you got so darn ugly about things they needed to leave you. I don't know. Maybe they left you for somebody else. I don't know. But Jesus isn't like that. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He knows the end from the beginning, so He knows how ugly you're going to get. He bore your sin, even though He didn't want to, so He could have a relationship with you. Did you hear that? He bore your sin, so you don't have to, so He could have a relationship with you. He bore your sin, so you don't have to, so He could have a relationship with you. We should be able to bear one another. So we can have a relationship one to another in the church and in the family of God. And with those outside the church. The love of God isn't just for those in the church. It's a love. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. The goodness of God is displayed in His love through you. And if you don't love those who aren't lovely, who aren't lovable, who come up to you in the middle of service and bang, give you one right on the kisser, if you can't love them, come on, how are they ever going to see the goodness of God? The truth is, for some of those folks who are mean and nasty to you, then you may be the only Jesus they ever see. The Jesus inside of you may be the only Jesus they ever see. And that is not when somebody treats you wrong, when somebody gossips about you, when somebody grumbles and murmurs and tries to tear you down in the eyes of other people, or they say things that aren't true. Listen, when you love them, guess what happens? You sow a seed of the gospel into their heart. It's like fishing with stink bait. Anybody ever fish catfish with stink bait? I mean, you get some liver and you leave it outside for a good day in the heat, and that gets real stinky, and you put it on a treble hook, you know, and you cast it out there, and them catfish, well, they smell it. They sense it like sharks do, blood in the water. And the catfish will move all the way across a pond or a bayou just to come upon that smell, that, and then they want to eat it, see? And once they start eating it and you feel them, you know, catfish is like this, tug, 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 you know, the string. When you get a tug, then you go, you set that hook, man, and you reel them in. Oh, but they're so good. Now listen. Take that in reverse, because love has an aroma about it. And then God makes, listen, that person's so mean, that person's so nasty, hold on now. They're mean and nasty because they need to experience love. And they're mean and nasty because either they've been hurt by somebody and they're afraid to love. And so when you love them unconditionally like Jesus loved you, that aroma of love gets out into the atmosphere and it will draw them. And they'll come upon and they'll start to have fellowship with you. And they'll drop their guard just a little bit. And pretty soon they'll want to take a bite out of that love. And when they do, you know, you feel it ting, 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 ting. They're calling you. They're texting you. They're wanting to do something. And wham, you reel them into the kingdom of God. Now, the truth of the matter is, some of us might be trying to catch men and women for God, but we're using the wrong bait. It's not prosperity. It's not healing. God loves to do both of those things. He is your provider. He is your healer. He's your baptizer. He's your sanctifier. He's the soon coming king. But listen, all of that won't draw them. What draws them is the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is communicated. You know, I travel to a lot of different countries, and when I'm there, you know, I don't know Urdu. I don't know Hindi. I don't know Telugu. I don't know Bambara. I don't know all these languages. I know some Spanish, but I need an interpreter to interpret what the Spirit of God has flowing out of me into a language that they can receive. You need to interpret the love of God for those around you who don't know Jesus. Because it is foreign to them. The love of God to a non-believer feels like danger. It feels strange. It feels like the words describe cultish. How can they walk around with that dazed look in their eyes and smile all the time? Something's wrong with them. They've been hypnotized. No, they got the love of God inside of them. They got the love of God in them. And that's what will draw them into the kingdom. What scripture are we at? Isaiah 41. You are not in this thing alone. Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Do you feel like you're walking in the promise of this scripture? If you don't feel like you're walking in the promise of this scripture, you might want to tighten up on your love walk. You might want to love those around you just a little bit more, so those who aren't around you will have this invisible power called favor. That when they hit it, they just can't help but like you. Did you hear that? When you walk in love with those around you, see, it's easy to love the guy in Zimbabwe who you've never met or never seen. It's easy to love that person on that, I don't know why Christians do this dating thing online, but you haven't been any time with them yet. So, yeah, you can love an idea, but where you start to know them, then you start hanging around them, you'll have the opportunity to walk in love by faith. This promise is activated in your life by your love walk. Because you abide in God as you walk in love one to another. Go to Isaiah 54. We'll go a couple chapters over. You're not in this thing alone. In other words, the love of God, the power of the love of God is always available to the Christian if he or she will walk in love. Verse 16. God says, see, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. No weapon formed against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Do you want to walk in a place where when somebody lies on you, it's like a proverb falling off the lips of a fool? When somebody tries to get people upset about you and what you're doing, when they begin to gossip, murmur, spread lies, and you want that word to come out and people instantly recognize that it's not true, and that there's nothing behind it, then you need to walk in love. See, all of the promises in God are yes and amen. All of the promises that God gave are yes and amen in Christ. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. What commands did he tell you to keep? To love God and love your neighbor. So all of the law and the commands hang on those two things. So do you understand? All of the promises that God has given in the Scripture are available to those who will walk in love. If you are, if you're putting your pressure of faith upon the promise of God, I guarantee you when you're in an intimate place with the Lord and you're putting pressure on Him for favor to come, for healing to come, for provision and protection to come, and it's not coming, you don't see it, then the Lord's going to speak to you about how you're loving somebody or how you're not loving somebody. He'll guide you into all truth. Praise the Lord. One more scripture. Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Now you want to know one of the ways that you can tell if you're not walking in love? Everybody look up here for a minute. You want to know one of the sure ways to tell that you're not walking in love like you should? That you think this message is for somebody who's not here. If you're thinking, boy, I just got to get that CD for so-and-so. Oh, she really needs to hear this message. It'll be online. You can send the link. But listen, if that's what Satan does. He'll take the truth of the Word of God, and if he can get you to deflect it to somebody else and not receive it, he'll do that. It's deception. This message is for you. Now, after you've applied it to your life by faith, then go ahead and send it off to somebody else. That's all right. But if you're sitting here thinking, well, Aunt Susie needs this, Martha needs this, oh, Henry down the street who used to work at Firestone, he needs this. Well, you probably need it. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but the things that you see in other people that need corrected are usually the things that you are struggling with. I don't know about you. I need some grace. I need some mercy. I need some favor. So I'm going to try and give grace and mercy and favor so I could be a receiver of such. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Surely He is with you. He's with you. How do you know that? Because you carry Him. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hey, you might have to prime the pump to walk in love. You might have to prime the pump to walk in love. You might have to prime the pump to walk in love. And sometimes when it's with a certain person or two in your life, you may have to prime it continuously throughout the day. But if you do, you'll begin to draw out of the love of God that He put within you. And it's not that you're a container. You're more like a pipeline. Once you open up that valve, that takes effort to open the valve, guys. I'd love to tell you it gets easier, but it doesn't. It just gets more familiar. Okay, I got to do this. I'd like to tell you that it's simpler, that I gain more. I'm mature beyond getting hurt and offended. No, I'm not. But I do know what I have to do. I've got to open up that valve of love that flows in the Spirit of God that's within me. And you know what happens? When I'm nice to somebody through the power of God, when I sow into somebody's life who has hurt or offended me, and I do it through the power of God, God's love comes up from within and starts to strengthen, heal things in the way that I think. And it comes out and it begins, it surrounds me like hot liquid butter. No, that's not a good picture. It, like a warm velvet robe. And it comforts me. That's, okay, that's not good either. No bunny slippers. I just feel good. I feel good on the inside. I feel good on the outside. Because God's love is with me, strengthens me, and empowers me. Praise the Lord. Pastor Nijan and I love you guys very much. And we're praying that Christ in you is formed to a point that people see Jesus very clearly in you and through you.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.